listening to Action Phase. I'm your host, Tegan Keating. This week, I talk with Karen Chenoweth, who is the Carrie Line Supervisor for the Center for Advocacy for the Rights and Interests of the Elderly, also known as Carrie. Carrie is an advocacy organization that focuses on empowering older adults to solve problems on their own or with the assistance of an advocate. I had the very good fortune of spending a portion of my summer interning there, and I got to see firsthand the amazing work that they do there. It's a great resource for anybody who has an older adult in their family and has questions about the unique needs of people as they age. A good example of what Carrie can help with is, let's say your parent or your grandparent is in a nursing home and you think that the situation there isn't great and probably should be addressed. You can give Carrie Line a call and tell them what the problem is, and they can help you figure out how to deal with it. They can either help you themselves or give you the resources, connect you with the right people, so that way you can solve the problem. You know, I talk with Karen this week about how tough it can be to ask for help and how difficult it can be to navigate some of these mazes that are set up for older adults. So I hope you enjoy the interview, and here we go, Karen Chenoweth. Hi, I'm here with Karen Chenoweth, the Carrie Line Supervisor at Carrie, the Center for Advocacy for the Rights and Interests of the Elderly, where I had the excellent fortune of interning this summer. So, hi, Karen.
Hello, thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Thanks so much for sitting down with me in the Carrie Library.
Yes.
Filled with all kinds of books about elder advocacy and
ethics.
Yes. Yeah, uh-huh. Good stuff. Can you talk a little bit about what Carrie is in general and what you guys do here and what services you provide?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Carrie is a private nonprofit. We were founded in 1977, and our mission is to improve the well-being, rights, and autonomy of older persons through education, advocacy, and action. And I'm in the Carrie Line department, and basically that's one of our premier programs. Anyone can call us or email us from across the country as long as you're asking us a question for or about a senior. And then we will listen or help you define that problem or question you have, and then we'll educate that individual about the services and systems that are in place and help them navigate throughout so they can eventually resolve their own concern or complaint.
What kinds of issues do people call in about?
Oh, it's a plethora. It could be anything under the sun. You never know what you're going to get when the phone rings. So it could be from the most complex questions about Medicare and coverage and all the like of that, or nursing homes, or abuse. We also get lots of calls about, can you explain the differences of power of attorney or guardianship, and why would I want these documents, and how do I obtain them?
From the elderly are calling in and asking about why would I want this particular document over this other one?
Sure. Either the older adult themselves, or sometimes it's the adult child or a caregiver who may be a little confused or stumped. And needs to get that information to the older adult. Yeah. So, it could be even housing information or utilities. I need a new furnace.
It sounds like there needs to be Carrie Line for just life in general.
Yeah.
If there was a Carrie Line I could call when I had a question about something like that, that would be great.
So, yeah. It's like one-stop shopping here.
Yeah. It's great. I also, when I was here for the summer, I sat next to somebody who was answering the phone for Carrie Line and got to hear the wide variety and the
amount of patience that it sometimes takes to really figure out what the actual issue is.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like sometimes people call in and they know something's wrong, but they can't quite articulate it yet.
Absolutely. It could be that. Or also remember, folks are vulnerable. You know, asking for help is not easy. And oftentimes, you know they need help with this particular subject, but that subject might be embarrassing or painful or just difficult to verbalize. So they might start off their call asking about easier things,
right.
like you know, I need some Meals on Wheels,
right.
Or I don't like my Meals on Wheels. It starts
with
that, and then that opens up the door to some other issue. So yeah, our advocates are highly trained to hear what someone's saying, but also pick up what they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't shy away from subjects. You know, we try to
come
right out and address things and help people figure out what it is that they really are seeking.
And it's not, my understanding of the Care Line is that it's not that the advocates will then do for you what you need done. It's the idea is to empower the callers to really take care of themselves and basically to help guide through the process and not take that autonomy away.
Oh, precisely. Yeah. Autonomy is at the forefront of everything we do, and we absolutely work from that empowerment approach. It's healthier for everyone involved. The older adult, precisely this way, they know that they still are running their own show.
Because they should be.
They should be.
Right.
Absolutely. They've earned the right.
Absolutely.
You know, they made it that far. Gosh darn it. They should be able to finish it the rest of the way. So we just give them some of the tools and techniques and support necessary. Because, you know, there are some times when an individual is trying to access a major service or system, and you run into difficult professionals sometimes on the other end.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And so when that happens, when we have a frail or older adult, you know, voice might be shaking, we're afraid that if we just tell them, oh, call such and such and ask for blah, 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 they just might get stuck in a telephone tree or pushed around.
Right.
So we will provide an extra level of advocacy then and do conference calling with the senior.
Okay.
So then when the professional starts pushing, well, we give them a little pushback.
Right.
And then but the important part is that the older adult is still there. They're still participating and involved. So they are learning through our modeling on how to deal with a difficult professional.
Right.
And they're hearing the vocabulary we're using. So they now feel that they have ownership of this issue or the solution to the problem. And then we inform them if you need us further, you know, for the next few steps that are needed, please don't hesitate to call us back and we will pick up where we left off.
And people do follow
and
up
with
you, right?
They do. Or there are other times when, you know, again, if someone's delicate, if the situation's delicate, we will do, you know, absolute follow-up as well.
Right.
We don't want people falling through the cracks. But we do, yes, like I said, try to empower that individual to resolve their own concern or complaint. Then they can then hopefully share that with their family,
right,
with their community, and then everybody gets stronger.
One of the things that I did this summer with Carrie was I went out into the community and did presentations, and I got to talk to, we visited 15 senior centers and talked to more than 300 seniors this summer, which was great. And what I learned, I learned a lot, but one of the most striking things was how much seniors who had used Carrie services loved Carrie.
Oh,
nobody
so
had
good
a
to hear.
Bad word to say about you guys. It
oh,
was
thank you.
They were I remember one woman in particular talked about how when her mother was in the process of dying, how Carrie helped them work through all of these issues that they needed, and it was just, it was amazing to see what an impact that empowerment really does have,
yes,
on individuals who then stood up in the middle of a meeting of 25 people and talked about how great Carrie is and how you should call them if you have any issues.
That really makes me feel good. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, we do this work. We put our nose to the grindstone. We don't always hear all of that feedback.
Yeah.
I do hear a lot of it though. Thank you. But that does really make us feel great. gives us energy to continue.
Good, good. Yes. Because one of the things that that we talk about a lot in school is involving community members in the work that you're doing and mm-hmm. Engaging with people and not just saying, this is what you need to do because I'm a professional and you are a consumer and so I know what's best for you. And that is something that I see Carrie looks at and says, no way, like that is not what we're doing here.
That's right.
And it's definitely, I see from the short amount of time that I was here that this is a really good model that other organizations could look at and say, oh, this is how you can really advocate for people.
That's right.
Yeah, so oh, I love Carrie. I think it's great.
Yay. good.
So who are the Carrie Line advocates? Are they social workers? Are they
we have
public health people?
We have folks from a couple different backgrounds. We have a couple social workers. I think I have someone who was actually a history major or something like that and kind of fell into it. We're really looking for someone who has had advocacy mm-hmm. in their life somehow, somewhere along the way. So, you know, we don't just stick to one particular discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's, are you good with the human service? You know, have you had experience? You have education in that realm somehow, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what other work or volunteerism have you been engaged in where we can pull those skills? We need someone who can think critically, someone who is not afraid to advocate, even if it's something that they necessarily might not personally believe in,
mm-hmm.
Because it's about the older adult's autonomy.
Right.
And then someone who is able to communicate effectively. Oh, and listen. Yeah, and listen. That's huge. So that way, and then someone who can clearly research. Because, like I said,
right. We
never know what the question's going to be when we pick up that phone. It could be one I've heard 100 times, or I still to this day get stumped. So I have to tell my caller, oh, wow, you managed to stump me today. I have to do some research. Let me look this up and call you back. So that's who we look for in an advocate. Yeah.
That's really, how did you get involved? What was your path? How'd you get here?
So I grew up in the Philadelphia region, right outside of Philly in Montgomery County. I decided to go to Temple University for both undergraduate and grad school for social work. After graduation, I kind of bounced around. I had to find my niche.
Like most people seem to do.
So I had gone from museum management of a nonprofit museum, that
mm-hmm.
is. I made the jump to welfare to work.
Okay.
I'm dating myself. And then after that, I slid over and did some behavioral modification and mobile therapy for children and adolescents with behavioral health issues. And then one of my old colleagues from, high school, middle school, had been an employee here at Carrie, and they had a job opening, and she knew that I was kind of looking at the time and called me up and let me know about it, so I threw my hat in the ring. Then Carrie took a chance on me. I did not have any hands-on aging experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, clearly with working the families I'd worked in the past, you know, a lot of them had older adults in the families, but nothing where I focused on older adults. So there was a bit of a learning curve mm-hmm. when learning the aging systems, but my other social work background experiences translated very well. So,
what was your job when you first started here?
I started as a Carrie Line advocate.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And then now you're the queen of the advocates.
Yeah. I should suggest they'll call me that. No.
I think so.
I'm just teasing. I was able to, you know, work my way up. I'd seen a few supervisors come and go for various mm-hmm. reasons, and at the time was just right, and they approached me, and I said, sure, I'll give it a try. And so, yeah, now back there and trying to make effective changes. So
yeah, and training the new crop of advocates.
Training the new advocates coming in. Yeah, we have some new hirees. And then we do rely heavily upon volunteers and interns.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And, you know, interns are constantly coming through with the new school
right.
year. So, yeah, always a new bunch of people to
that
work
is,
with.
Caroline is great.
Oh,
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Super fun.
But that's not the only thing you do, right? You also
Oh, yeah, one of my prizes. Right, right. Because, yeah, in the Carey line, one of our major programs we have is a prize, which is we provide free state health insurance options counseling for anyone with Medicare or medical assistance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we are one of the three prize sites here in Philadelphia. There are two others,
mm-hmm.
one downstairs from us in this building, the Mayor's Commission on Aging, and then the other is Albert Einstein Premier Years, and they're up in the like near the Broad and Olney section
okay.
of Philadelphia.
And what does a prize stand for?
Oh, it's an acronym that really doesn't spell out mean anything. So, yeah, I know, it's silly, right? Yeah. So, I know, there's acronyms in our business for everything.
Right.
This one, yeah, whenever you see the word capitalized, APPRISE, it just means a prize.
That's it?
That's it. It doesn't break out to anything. I know.
That's
so,
crazy.
Yes, yes. But, yeah, so when you see that, or there is an emblem, it's like a sunburst inside of a triangle, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you see that word with that emblem, that means you could get that free health insurance counseling. Yeah.
So what does that mean? Let's say I am turning 65 this month, and I am therefore eligible for Medicare.
Yeah.
And there are a plethora of options with Medicare.
Yes.
And I need help. So I call Carey Line and I say, help me, I don't know what to do.
Okay.
Then what happens?
Then we ask you how you would like to be helped. So everyone's a different learner,
okay.
which and we are sensitive to that. And everyone also has different skill sets. So some of our seniors are just retired and have been using computers at their previous business and are very savvy. That senior might need us to just kind of walk them through how to utilize that Medicare website,
mm-hmm.
What tools on that website they'll utilize, and to give them a crash course education on what Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D all mean,
mm-hmm.
gap, do I want these things, why would I want these things, the penalty amounts, what are the enrollment time periods. You know, other things that they might want to look out for. Then you might have someone who is just very scared about the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were someone who's never used computers at all, never really dealt with insurance in their life really seriously. You know, maybe their employer just signed them up and they never had to think about it.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they're just trepidatious. And we will set that person up with a one-on-one counseling session so they can come in,
mm-hmm.
look at us face-to-face,
yeah.
and then we can pull out worksheets and dittos and draw diagrams and write out
okay.
amounts and really help that person, wherever their learning style is, help them really grasp and understand what are all these options for me regarding my health insurance and help me figure out what are my health care needs and
right.
what are my financial needs as well. And then we help steer them towards the plans that make the most sense for them.
Because there are, one of the things that I think we often forget about Medicare is that now we have, now, it's been around for a long time now, all of these private insurance companies through Medicare Part C that are providing insurance paid for by Medicare,
mm-hmm.
so you have to follow Medicare rules, but you also have to get it from, so I, that's
yeah.
the idea of matching up somebody's healthcare needs to the plans
mm-hmm.
seems really tough for somebody who's not trained to be able to do.
Yeah, it is difficult. It's a challenge. But we've learned, you know, the program is very good at training us counselors. CMS is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and that is the body that governs all of this. And then they provide us with regional trainers to come through to make sure that we have all the tools and techniques and, you know, information that every consumer possibly would want. And so that way, when the consumer comes in, we are able to ask the right questions to help us figure out what categories, what boxes this person might fit in.
Okay.
Okay. So once we've identified that, then we help explain what those are to that consumer, and we explain why you might want to be on this side of the street with your coverage, and then why you might want to add or build this component to it, or why you might not want to. And then we show them the opposite side as well. What are the other folks choosing?
Right.
And explain to them why it might be beneficial for them, or explain why it might not. So then this way, that individual can really see themselves in those particular plan options,
right,
and figure out then what makes best sense for myself. We try to be the devil's advocate. You know, because remember, we're not allowed to tell the consumer exactly which plan to choose. We have to remain non-biased as, as a counselor, okay? But what we would do as we start helping that person narrow it down, we say, well, I've had other consumers, other callers tell me they like this because of X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
And I've had other callers call me and say they don't like it because of A, B, and C. And I ask, are those going to be issues for you? So then this way, this person can now kind of project in the future, oh yeah, that's right, I never even considered that.
What types of things become issues for people?
For instance, some folks, the big difference is between signing up between the Medicare, original or traditional Medicare.
Right.
Is getting a prescription drug plan to go along with that. And then maybe possibly adding on the supplement to pick up the gaps in coverage.
Right.
Okay? That's one way of building it. The other way is going through the Medicare Advantage plan system, where you do have a private insurance company who's wrapping together all of your benefits, your A for hospital, your B for doctor, your D for drugs, and they call it a Medicare Part C. In that structure, you get a few advantages, such as, you know, prescription glasses, if that's necessary,
hearing aids.
Yeah. Well, some hearing, possibly some money for hearing aids, or at least the testing.
Okay.
And then some dental, basic dental services.
Okay.
Also, some medical transport often is a benefit.
All right, that's a good thing to have sometimes.
Sometimes, right? Because if your loved ones are still working and aren't able to drive you to a medical procedure and home again, then this is a way you can remain independent.
Right.
And this is all about autonomy.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Great. So those are the basic two structures. So what are some of the problems? Well, some people don't like the Medicare Advantage plan system because every time you show up at your primary or your, you know, specialist, you're kicking out, you know, your co-payment amount, whatever that plan has set.
Right.
You know, maybe $20 to $50 if you're going to a specialist. You know.
So that looks more like private insurance that a lot of people in the workforce would have.
Right, exactly. So some folks like that, but if you're someone who has a lot of appointments, right, every time you show up at your primary or your specialist, if you have an issue that you and your specialist are working out, if you're coming out of pocket $50, $45 every time, that's going to get difficult.
Right.
So that might not, on the surface, someone may have been attracted to the Medicare Advantage plan. Oh, yes, I want to get my new glasses each year. And yes, I would like to get, you know, my teeth, you know, cleaned, you know, so I can avoid a major dental issue.
Right.
But I don't want to have to put out $45 every time I see my specialist. So that might mean going, switching over to be someone in original traditional Medicare and adding on the prescription component for my drugs, and then picking up a supplement might be better for me. Because if I'm paying more up front for my supplement coverage, then, but I'm not getting then all those little extras. I go into my specialist, and they would normally give me the ask me for the copayment. I say, oh, bill my Medigap, bill my supplement.
So, but for each one of those options, or for both of those options, there are still the monthly premiums.
Yes.
So you would pay a little bit more if you had original Medicare and Medigap and a Part D than you would if you had an Advantage plan. Is there one or the other that comes out to be more financially.
That's really hard to, yeah, you can't just answer that because it fluctuates with every person.
Mm.
Because one senior at 65 might go to the doctor once the whole year,
right?
Maybe to get an antibiotic or the flu shot, right? You know, if that,
yeah.
You know, but otherwise, some of these seniors are healthier than me.
Yeah.
You know, they're really.
Right, just because you're getting older doesn't mean you're sick.
That's right. Exactly. So some folks are doing really well. And so that person would still need to sign into coverage so they won't be facing penalties for not having coverage all along.
Right.
Right. But they might want to go into a plan like the Medicare Advantage, right? Because they might be able to find one whose premiums are nice and low, deductibles are nice and low, and copayment isn't all that bad. And especially if I'm only going once, maybe twice a year,
right?
No big deal.
That $50 copay is no big deal if you're saving hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds
of dollars
throughout the year.
Right.
But now the next senior, they already have multiple chronic issues that they're addressing. They know they're going to be in and out of the doctor, in and out of the hospital.
Right.
You know, they already have some, maybe a surgery already scheduled. Then there's going to be post-surgery care. You know, so then that person might be someone who's looking at going into the Supplement Advantage plan. The Supplement Medigap plan instead. Then let's throw this into the, another wrench into the work. So we have the senior who has a lot of medical things that are going to be coming up, but they just don't have the money up front for that Medigap plan.
Right.
So, yeah.
Then what happens?
Right. So then we have to sit down and with that senior and try to do some math and try to do some projections. So we try to figure out if we put you into the original Medicare with the standalone prescription drug plan by itself, how much will that come out to throughout the year on the average visits? We add in the supplement, how much will that come out to?
Right.
And then do it again on the Medicare Part C side. And so then that way they can kind of have an idea how much that would look like. And then they have to decide, you know, how do I want to spend my money?
And then let's say somebody doesn't want to sign up at all. They turn 65, they don't want Medicare, then what happens?
Then they don't sign up.
But there's penalties.
There are penalties, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So each part of Medicare has its own penalty. Well, A is something that we don't have to pay for because we have been paying, as long as we've worked, ourselves or our spouse, as long as they have worked enough quarters throughout the lifetime, A comes free because we've been paying for it
in
our taxes.
And that's your hospital
coverage.
That's
your hospital.
Right.
Then your Part B, that is your medical. You think of everything medical, so your doctors, your primary specialists, labs, home health, durable medical equipment, all that stuff is stuck under B. That we do have to pay for monthly. So if you decide not to enroll in it and then later in life realize, oops, I need it, I need to go see a doctor, B has a 10% penalty for every 12-month period you were not enrolled and could have been enrolled. So they will go back to when you were first eligible at 65, and from that point add up how many 12-month periods you've been out of B.
Okay.
Okay? And then that will be your penalty. So
that can get very pricey if you wait too long.
Yeah. Yeah, and that penalty follows you for life. Okay, that's just the B penalty. The Part D also has its own penalty, and that is 1% for every month you could have been enrolled and failed to enroll. And then Part B and Part D each have its own enrollment periods. So there's only certain times of the year you can actually get into it. So even if one morning, you wake up and say, oh, I decide I want to get into my Medicare Part B now.
Right.
Well, you can't unless it's January or February, March. And if it is those months, great, you can enroll, but your coverage won't start till July. So those months are also added in, I believe, into your penalty.
So I'm not anywhere near having to mm-hmm. sign up for Medicare, but already mm-hmm. that, like, all of that just made me nervous. Like, of course,
and
how
it was
could
confusing,
anybody? It's
actually.
Confusing, and I've already spent some time thinking about Medicare and how it works. Mm-hmm. Even just knowing what A, B, C, and D is, mm-hmm. is more than what I think most people who don't have Medicare
right.
know about it.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, Apprise helps you work through all of those issues.
Yes. Yes.
Helps you pick the right one. And then, so let's say somebody signs up for something that they, you know, they think it's going to work for them, and they realize partway through the year that it's not working out, and they want to switch during that next open enrollment period.
Oh, sure. You can do
they
that.
They could come back. They
yeah.
could call again and say, all right, these were the problems with this plan.
Mm-hmm.
What else is out there?
Exactly. Yeah. There's one in the beginning of January and February, there's one last chance up until February 14th, Valentine's Day. If you realize what you signed into was an oops,
mm-hmm.
you were not happy with it, you can drop out. You can you get a one-time undo.
Okay.
So you can get out of something that you don't like. But you can only downgrade. You can't, like, upgrade. If you were someone who was already in Medicare, if you're in a Advantage plan, you can switch back into original Medicare with a Part D. But if you were in the original Medicare with Part D, you can't then turn around and decide to go into a Medicare Advantage plan.
But you're not stuck forever.
Not forever.
Plan. It's just within that year.
Within that year.
So you have to, like, if mm-hmm. you realize in August that you don't like it, you've got to stick it out until January.
Well, remember, the new open enrollment period, every year, Medicare has an open enrollment period October 15 through December 7.
Okay.
And as long as you choose a plan, a prescription coverage plan, during that time period, your new coverage will start January 1.
Okay. All
yes.
Right.
Yes. And then, let's say you took advantage of this open enrollment period.
Mm-hmm.
They start your coverage January 1, and that's when you said, oh, darn, I chose the wrong one. That's when you have just that January and February to make that one-time switch to go.
Right.
Backwards, back out of what you got into, but then you're locked in for that rest of that year until the new open enrollment period,
right?
October through December 7, and then your new stuff starts January 1. Always January 1 is the start.
Is that in part? I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why open enrollment exists the way it does, and why you
mm-hmm.
only have a small window where you can make changes.
Yeah,
is it in part to keep people from switching into plans that are that cover more once they get sick? Or is
That's
it
interesting? I don't really understand their full methodology. I wish I did.
Oh, it seems they're not known for being easy to understand.
It's not. I think it. Yeah, it's a CMS clearly decision, but I think it's also based on, you know, maybe that's a good question for the insurance industry itself, because a lot of folks remember usually in the fall anyway is the annual enrollment for your employer plans too. That's
mm-hmm.
when usually, you know, staff meetings happen and your boss will bring out, okay, these are going to be, you know, these are new plans for the new year. We're going to keep this one. We had it last year. If you guys are still in it, that it's still the same. And then these are the few others, and
mm-hmm.
here are the new prices, and this is the amount the agency will put in, and this is what the employee responsibility portion will be. And if you add in your family, it will turn into this. So enrollment for insurance seems to happen in the fall. Always,
I guess so that way it can start on January 1st.
So they work on a calendar year. And so I think when they were creating this whole system, this whole privatized insurance managing Medicare plans,
mm-hmm.
they really based it on what the industry is already doing instead
okay.
of reinventing the wheel.
Right.
So I think that's part of what the methodology is, but I've never had anyone tell me. That's what I assume.
And then Apprise mm-hmm. also works with, you said medical assistance? Is that right?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's for folks who have Medicare and Medicaid or medical assistance.
Okay.
Those words are used interchangeably. It's the state.
Medicaid and medical assistance are used interchangeably?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on who you're talking to,
okay.
Like which professional. Some people will say, you know, Medicaid. Some people will say the full word medical assistance. It's the state run. Medicaid is a insurance coverage for folks who are either disabled or who are living in poverty. And so those folks are considered the most vulnerable. We want to make sure their coverage doesn't stop. You know,
right.
We want to make sure they always have access to their health care. So they wrap the Medicare in with that. There's often a lot of times when folks who are on disability, right, they get turned on to Medicaid benefits to pay for their health care. And then oftentimes what happens is they are also then turned on to Medicare. And then there's a cost sharing between Medicare, who's the federal plan, and
right.
Medicaid, which is a federal / state plan.
Okay.
Yeah, Medicaid is a plan that is offered from the federal government throughout the United States, but it is administered differently by each state because
right.
each state's needs and income and needs of the people are different.
And each state's government
is different.
Makes its own decisions.
Yes, they do.
As we're seeing in Pennsylvania with a lack of a Medicaid expansion
mm-hmm.
at the moment. Would that have a major effect on what for
yeah.
seniors?
Now,
do you know?
I believe so, but I also believe I have heard, and I thought I saw some emails, and forgive me, I haven't read all of them yet. It's been a kind of crazy moment, but I believe that Pennsylvania is considering now going ahead with Medicaid expansion, and we believe it has something to do with the healthcare industry putting pressure on the administration.
Really?
Well, yeah, because the Medicaid expansion would help them because they would get paid
right.
for rendering
all
services.
Of these uninsured people would
right.
all of a sudden have
insurance. So I
yeah.
think they had quite of an incentive to encourage the administration. So we'll have to confirm.
We'll see how that
where that is in the paperwork.
Plays out.
Yes.
So that's
things
this
are changing constantly.
A prize and Caroline and all of it seem like such valuable resources to people.
It's huge.
It's explaining some of the most complicated things that an individual would have to deal with on their own.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a sense of how many people call Caroline or get involved with a prize in some way?
Oh, I wish I could give you a real life good statistic, and I just don't want to pull a crazy number out of my head just to give you a number. It's a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good amount. I don't want to render a guess, but wish I could give you a good number. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of it. But no, I just know the folks who do come in.
Right.
Or call, when I see those folks face to face, you know, at first it's tense. You know, can see it. You can see it in their face.
Because it's so stressful.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
They're overwhelmed. They're scared. They don't want to make the wrong choice. It's a lot of money at stake. It's,
yeah.
it's their health at stake.
Their lives.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're fearful that, you know, they'll be stuck with it for at least this whole year. You know, and what
right.
if I really muck it up? So, we will take our time. A Medicare counseling session average is about an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. I try not to let it go on much longer than that because then people's eyes glaze over.
Right. The fatigue starts to set in.
It all starts sounding the same, meta this and meta that. And we'll do that. We will sit down, like I said, or over the phone with someone, just keep answering their questions, trying to word it in different ways. So, you know, to see how they're learning that material, trying to address every concern that they could possibly think of. And then we will say, okay, why don't we take a break? You know, how about we reschedule?
Yeah.
You know, think about this, go home, you know, chew on it. write out some more questions, talk about it with your spouse, your loved ones,
mm-hmm.
come back, and then we pick up where we left off. And I have noticed the next time you talk to someone, they feel so much better already.
Yeah.
They already have ownership of some of the language. They're talking the talk.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see it. They're looking empowered rather than looking overwhelmed. And then you can see them coming to their decisions better. And so that's invaluable.
That's the whole point.
That's what it's about. Absolutely.
That's great. So if somebody wanted to learn more about Cari or a prize, or maybe if they wanted to volunteer.
Yay.
Or, you know, who should they get in touch with? How can they talk to you guys?
Yeah, you can call our main number. We're 215-545-5728. That's locally. Our website is www.carie.org. You could go online, read up all about us. We also have an email function on the website, so you can either just email us a general question,
mm-hmm.
or go ahead and email us that you're interested in volunteering. Or you can, like I said, when you call in, you can ask for me, Karen Chenoweth, directly, or email me directly. Last name is, my email is my last name, Chenoweth, Chenoweth at carie.org. Yeah, just drop me an email.
If you can't get mm-hmm. in touch with Cari one of those ways, yeah. then you are doing something wrong. You can call, you can email, you can look at the website, you can fax. So there's no
Cari
excuse.
Pigeon.
Yes.
No excuse. We take them all different types and sizes and everything. Yeah, absolutely.
They'll put you to work.
Yes, absolutely. There's tons of volunteer opportunities. If it's insurance that interests you, absolutely, we'll send you off to the Apprise official trainings and get you certified so you can either just do the presentations that go to meet the seniors at where they congregate, or to do the one-on-one counseling in here. We have many other departments here at Cari. You know, maybe it's not just the insurance counseling that, you know, floats your boat. You might be someone who's interested in bringing down fraud. We have the Medicare,
yes.
Medicaid fraud unit here. It's called SMP, Senior Medicare Patrol. So there's that. Oh, we also do ombudsman.
Right.
Ombudsmen are the resident advocates for anyone living in a nursing home or personal care home. We need extra ombudsmen. There's a lot of homes, a lot of people who have bad experiences who we
right.
need to address. And then there's just, you know, also if you're someone who's just an office person, like
right.
maybe you want to help us, we have room for office assistant or someone who can help with the telephone intake. We have lots of calls.
Yeah.
And so someone who can help screen those calls, that would be very helpful. So, yeah, we're open and willing for anyone.
So get on it.
Yes.
You should do it. Thank you so much for talking with me today. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So that was Karen Chenoweth. Cari and Karen, of course, are a fantastic resource because, in no small part, because Medicare itself is insanely complicated. People spend their whole lives just trying to figure it out and trying to explain to other people. So this week's action item is to go to medicare.gov and take a little look at how complicated things actually are and give yourself a sense of what people are dealing with when they sign up for Medicare or when they say that they're having problems with their Medicare, because it's really complicated. So thanks for listening to Action Phase. You can find me at teagankeating.com. You can find me on Twitter at teagankeating, TEAGANKEATING. You can find Action Phase at Action Phase Pod on Twitter, and the website is actionphasepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you next week.